You know, we talk about how long these shows are, Monday Night Raw being 3 hours every single week. And honestly, I'm not sure how much more interesting this show tonight would have been if it was 90 minutes. I really don't think it would have made that much of a difference. But the real interesting part came at the very end of the night. Bobby Lashley fired by Adam Pearce for inadvertently attacking another WWE referee. This time, again, he didn't mean to do it. But he elbowed a referee after his match with Seth Rollins, and Adam Pearce warned him. He warned him previously. He said, look, you know, if you do this again, because this happened once before, if you do it again, I'm not going to be able to help you. My hands are tied. Not only did he assault a WWE referee, he put his hands on Adam Pearce and he shoved him aside. Adam Pearce, trying to do his best Vince McMahon impression but failing miserably, decided to fire Bobby Lashley, who couldn't believe it, as Adam Pearce walked away. And that is how Monday Night Raw tonight went off the air. Maybe Triple H is going to allow Bobby Lashley to do the gimmick that Vince McMahon rejected. Bobby Lashley had pitched a gimmick. He pitched a Fat Lashley gimmick to Vince McMahon about a year ago, and Vince didn't think he could pull it off. He rejected the idea. This is true, by the way. This is a true story. So about a year ago, Bobby Lashley pitched an idea that he had, a character he wanted to do to Vince McMahon, where he would lose a match, and it would basically send him into a downward spiral. It would send him into this severe depression. And he would go home and he would sit on his couch and he would put on about 70 pounds until eventually he kind of snaps out of his funk, and then he's got to lose all the weight to get back to the old Bobby Lashley. And Vince McMahon, he didn't let him do the idea. You know, I'm in the middle of my own Fat Lashley gimmick right now, only a few weeks removed from Thanksgiving. Always happens this time of year. So who knows? Maybe they're going to let him do the Fat Lashley gimmick. Or, more likely, maybe this is their way of getting back to the Hurt Business. Because now I am genuinely curious how they're going to reintroduce Bobby Lashley to Monday Night Raw when he does, you know, eventually come back to TV. Maybe this is the beginning of an eventual Hurt Business reunion. Maybe he's being given a vacation the way that Matt Riddle was given a vacation. We're going to talk about Matt Riddle here in a little bit because there's some breaking news tonight about Matt Riddle and the real reason why he was taken off television for the next 6 weeks. So we're going to get into that as well. Frankly, that's more interesting than anything else that happened on the show tonight. Not really, but we'll talk about it anyway. Seth Rollins is the new number one contender for the United States Championship. He beat Lashley in the main event. And Alexa Bliss is the new number one contender for the Raw Women's Championship. She will challenge Bianca Belair at a date to be determined for the Raw Women's title. They did not yet announce when that's going to be. I just assume it'll be the Royal Rumble, but they have not yet told us. Asuka, undergoing something of a character change. She has been posting on social media for days now old pictures of herself in the Kana makeup from Japan. Back when she was doing the Kana character, the murder clown, she would stiff the shit out of everyone. Well, I mean, that's just the way she wrestled over there anyway. But teasing that perhaps we are in for Kana coming soon to WWE. And then she showed up on Raw tonight, no makeup at all on her face. No smiling, no dancing. It was a different side of Asuka. She was more serious. She was in there really taking it to Rhea Ripley, and then she lost again. She looked distraught. She looked like she was about to cry when the match was over. So they're going somewhere with Asuka, which I am intrigued by because I am a fan of Asuka. And Asuka has not felt a significant part of this show in a very long time. So if anybody needs a character makeover here, it is Asuka. But they're doing the slow burn as far as how long it's going to take for them to get there. But I do think Kana is on the way. So we had that. But something else happened in the match tonight with Asuka. Poor Dominic Mysterio. This was Asuka against Rhea Ripley. And poor Dom got misted right in the face. The blue mist. Now, it's hard for me sometimes to keep up with my mists. There's so many of them. There's so many different Asian mists. There's yellow mist and red mist and blue mist and green mist and black mist. It's hard to keep track of all of them. That's probably not even all of them. So I looked it up to remind myself, and I am reminded of the fact that the blue mist is intended to put you to sleep. So I am casting the first vote here tonight to rename the Blue Mist Monday Night Raw. Because that's what this show damn near did tonight. The Royal Rumble cannot get here soon enough, is all I can say. I know, you know, and we talk about December, and we're in this period now between Survivor Series and the Rumble, and it's the holidays and the new year, and it's kind of a dead period. And that's true to an extent. But I'm also not going to sit here and absolve Triple H from all responsibility of the show by blaming it on the fucking calendar. This is just not a very interesting period for Monday Night Raw. It's not a one-week thing. This has been going on now for many weeks, going back to last month. But this is your Monday Night Raw review. It is December the 12th, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. Let's talk about Matt Riddle. This is the breaking news from earlier this evening. For those who don't know, they may have seen the thumbnail and the headline, and they're wondering what happened. What happened to Matt Riddle? I thought he was out for 6 weeks taking a vacation. He is out for 6 weeks taking a vacation, but now we know the reason why. Why would they take Matt Riddle off television for 6 weeks if he wasn't injured, right? Well, now we know why, apparently. Now, it should be noted that right now this is the only report, but BodySlam.net has broken news before. This is a story that was posted earlier this evening by Cassidy Haynes at BodySlam.net, and I'm going to read this to you right now. We will not be seeing Matt Riddle on television for 6 weeks. And of course, it was credited to the attack by Solo Sikoa, who took him out last week. He was carried out on a stretcher to an ambulance. We all saw that. However, that is not the real reason that WWE has written Riddle off of television for the next 6 weeks, nor is it the first time that WWE has had to write him off television or delay plans. Over the summer, the company had originally planned for Matt Riddle to have a match at SummerSlam against Seth Rollins, which is true. Originally, the first match between Rollins and Riddle was going to happen at SummerSlam. And then, what was it, like a week before maybe, or somewhere around then, it was bumped from the show. And it was very strange that they would do that. And the word at the time was, well, creatively, they just wanted to extend it out to Clash at the Castle and do the first match between them in Cardiff. At Clash at the Castle, but it was very strange that you had those two guys scheduled for a match. It gets bumped from the show. They ended up being at SummerSlam, but it was a quick run-in segment. They didn't do an actual match. The whole thing was very, very bizarre. So he points out the bumping of the SummerSlam match. It was reported at the time that the reason for the change was due to a new creative direction. Sources have told me, this is Cassidy Haynes, that the reason for pushing back the match was because Riddle failed a drug test leading up to SummerSlam. With Vince McMahon no longer in charge, a, quote, new creative direction was taken regarding Riddle and his big match against Rollins, which was postponed until Clash at the Castle. Additionally, I was told the company informed Riddle at the time that another failed drug test would result in a rehab or be fired situation, very similar to what happened previously with Jeff Hardy. How many times have we heard that with Jeff Hardy, right? Multiple times. We heard that with Umaga, right? We had Solo Sikoa tonight again paying tribute to Umaga doing the Samoan Spike. That's how Umaga's run in WWE came to an end. And then a few years later, he was, maybe not even a few years later, it might have been later that same year. I think it was in 2009, he passed away. They wanted him to go to rehab. I think it was maybe his second failure. He refused. He said, I'm not going. And they fired him. And then he ended up dying. So apparently they presented him with the same ultimatum. This leads us to Matt Riddle's most recent, quote, six-week vacation. I was able to confirm that the reason WWE wrote Riddle off TV is because he has failed another drug test and will be sent to rehab. The belief going around is that he has already entered treatment or will be going in very soon, as most programs run for 30 days, and he would need to be finished in time for his return in 6 weeks. And this is the last part of the story here. I asked for clarification on what exactly came up on the failed test, because WWE does not announce that publicly. But it should be noted that WWE no longer tests for marijuana. So bear that in mind, because obviously everybody's going to think, well, he's a pothead, right? He's a self-admitted pothead. I mean, they're making bong jokes on television. They're not going to be making bong jokes on television if they're still fining and penalizing people or suspending people for doing marijuana or taking marijuana or using marijuana. I say taking marijuana like it's a fucking pill. The reality is they don't test for it anymore. Or at least they don't punish people for it anymore. So I know that's the first thing people are going to think of. Oh, of course, everybody knows that, you know, Matt Riddle, he does that. That's not what this is. There's been a lot of rumors about Riddle and cocaine. I mean, nobody knows for sure what he failed for here. Nobody is saying what he failed for here. But there's been a lot of rumors about him and cocaine and that sort of thing and being into the party scene. So you can use your imagination as far as what it may have been. But that is why Riddle, apparently, based on this report, has been written off television. And so hopefully he gets his act together here because it's, look, if he's, look, I'm no expert in this, but I don't think that's the sort of thing where if you did it, it would stay in your system for an extended period of time. So that tells me that he was probably, whatever he was doing, maybe he was doing more of it than he should, and he got popped for it. And I'm sure he's not the only one who does it, but he got popped for it. So hopefully he gets his shit together and he can get back, because that's another name now that Triple H is going to be without for at least another 6 weeks. And if he doesn't get his act together, he's going to be without Riddle for a lot longer than 6 weeks. So that is the update on Matt Riddle and the alleged real reason why we are not going to be seeing him probably until we get to the Royal Rumble. Now, Raw tonight opened with our first of two number one contenders matches. This one to decide who would challenge Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship. It was Bayley one-on-one with Alexa Bliss. Damage Control was out with Bayley, but before Alexa even came out, Becky Lynch showed up. The only time all night we saw Becky Lynch, she came out of the crowd, I guess. There she was. She was at ringside. She beat up Dakota Kai and Io Sky. Sent them both over the barricade, over by the timekeeper's area, chased them off into the crowd. So now we were left with a fair fight. One-on-one, no Damage Control. Bayley one-on-one with Alexa Bliss. Bianca Belair did come out to take a front row seat to watch the match. Bayley ran Bliss into the ring post heading into the first commercial break. There was a spot where Alexa came off the ropes. I think it was the middle rope for a Hurricane Rana. Ah, see, Lebanese are in the chat. See, I see that it's catching on now. Monday Night Blue Mist. I'm saying, if the Blue Mist puts you to sleep, I vote to rename the Blue Mist Monday Night Raw. I want to get that started. I think it fits. So Bliss came off the ropes, and she went for a Hurricane Rana takeover on Bayley. And it looked like on the way down, Alexa landed on her head. Now, she didn't land right on top of her head, but she landed kind of on her head. She landed awkwardly. It did not look like a horrific bump or anything like that, but she did sort of land on her head. And they made it a focus for the rest of the match. She seemed off for the remainder of this match. It's possible that it was just her selling. Either that or she legitimately was a little bit woozy. I know the referee went to go check on her. Maybe it was part of the story of the match and she was just selling, but there was definitely something that felt off about her. And I didn't think this match was all that good because of it. Bayley hit a sunset flip into the corner that sent Bliss backwards, headfirst, into the turnbuckles. She followed that with a Bayley to belly for a near fall. Bayley then took off one of the middle turnbuckle pads. And Bianca Belair snitched her out. She grabbed the buckle. She's waving it around to tell the referee. All right, she's snitching on Bayley. Bayley doesn't like that. You know what they say about snitches. So all this distracted Bayley long enough for Alexa to kick her from behind, and Bliss ended up at ringside. Bayley took a swing at Alexa, who ducked, and it looked like she was going to hit Bianca, but she caught Bayley's hand. They had a little face-off on the floor. Back inside, Bliss put Bayley down and then hit her Twisted Bliss off the top rope for the 1-2-3. So Alexa Bliss is the new number one contender for the Raw Women's Championship. After the match, Bianca got in the ring. She put her hand out for a handshake, and Alexa teased giving her a handshake and then stopped. And then she put her arms out. She wanted a hug instead. And then the way they shot this with the camera was right behind where Alexa was standing. but it got enough of the Titantron that you knew they were going to show Bray Wyatt's logo, because why else would they be shooting it like that? And sure enough, as she was going in for the hug, they flashed the Bray Wyatt moth logo on the Titantron. When they hug, Alexa brings Bianca in for Sister Abigail. And this was kind of goofy, because she gets Bianca in position for Sister Abigail, and she holds the position for about 3 or 4 seconds as she, you know, gets this look in her eyes, and she looks straight ahead into the hard cam. Bianca is in position for this, looking up at Alexa, not doing anything, right? So it's almost like, well, what are you doing? Well, why are you shove her off? So I just felt like it just came off as very goofy to me, because why wouldn't, if Bianca thought that she was about to get hit with a Sister Abigail, I don't know why she wouldn't, you know, brush off Alexa here. But Alexa ended up, she acted like she snapped out of whatever trance that she was in. And she was apologetic and seemed upset and didn't know what happened, and she left. So even more evidence here that we are heading for Dark Alexa. I know one person, at least in the live chat, who's very excited about that. The dark version of Alexa Bliss is on the way back very soon, possibly at the Royal Rumble, if that's when they do the championship match. I've made my thoughts on this very clear. I don't really have any interest at all in seeing Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss back together. We already saw Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss together the first time, and it wasn't really great the first time. And they were together for quite a while. It's not like it's one of these storylines that was so great, man, WWE cut it short. I mentioned the Hurt Business, right? There was no reason to break up the Hurt Business when they did. You could say it would be nice to do a Hurt Business reunion and get the band back together, because they cut out on that way too soon. There was still potential. There was still gas left in the tank there. Bray and Alexa went on long enough. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh boy, I hope they put Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss back together. No, I don't, actually. No. But I also don't think that Alexa Bliss needs Bray Wyatt. You could still turn her heel. Alexa Bliss has been missing something since she came back. Alexa Bliss has been boring since she came back. They gave her this new shitty music. She comes out there and she's smiling. The complete and polar opposite of the whole goddess character that she was doing previously. No real direction. No real story. Boring. You could turn her heel without having to link her back up with Bray and doing supernatural stuff and throwing fireballs at people and flickering lights and all of that stuff. You don't need to do that. But kind of like Asuka, I feel the same way about Alexa. She is in dire need of some sort of character transformation. I don't think Bray Wyatt needs to be involved in that. Now, footage aired from earlier today of Chad Gable and Otis arriving at the building, and they were being interviewed in the back by Byron Saxton after being milked by Kurt Angle on SmackDown Friday night during his birthday celebration. Gable called Angle a dinosaur and said that he is not credible enough to be in the same ring as him and Otis. And at that moment, here comes AJ Styles and Luke Gallows and Mia Yim, and they're laughing about something amongst each other. And this greatly bothers Chad Gable, because this is interrupting his mic time here. So Styles said that Karl Anderson was in Japan taking care of some business. And for those who aren't aware, Karl Anderson is in Japan to defend his never open weight championship at the New Japan Tag League Finals on Wednesday. He's going to be defending his title against Hikuleo. So that is the update on the whereabouts of Karl Anderson. I know you were all wondering to yourself, boy, you know, this show, man, my night was ruined by the fact that Karl Anderson was not on Monday Night Raw tonight. I know you're all very devastated by that. So I just want to make sure that you're aware of where he was. He's safe and sound. So AJ said that Anderson sent him a video of Gable and Otis taking the milk bath on Friday, and he claimed that all the people in Japan love it. And Gable said that people talk about how good AJ used to be. He offered to teach Styles some lessons, and AJ challenged him to a match. Now, on a more serious note, where it concerns Karl Anderson, we have a big update today on Karl Anderson in New Japan. This from PWInsider.com. PW Insider has learned from multiple sources that WWE and New Japan have come to terms on an agreement that will allow Carl Anderson to participate in Wrestle Kingdom 17 on January 4th at the Tokyo Dome, making him the first ever contracted WWE talent to work New Japan's biggest show of the year at the Tokyo Dome. And we are told that Anderson had long figured into New Japan's plans for the event, even before the Good Brothers went back to WWE, and that the two sides were able to come to terms to keep New Japan's creative plans in place. And the website says they are told that Anderson will have a strong role on the Dome show in a singles match. So he's wrestling Hikuleo on Wednesday. We'll see what happens there. I mean, if he's going to be at the Tokyo Dome, I would imagine he'll retain his title and lose it there, but who knows? Who knows who he'll be stepping into the ring with on that show? Maybe he'll wrestle Sasha Banks. Who knows? We have AJ Styles one-on-one with Chad Gable. Styles launched Gable over the top rope. Otis, though, caught him. Gable then dumped Styles face-first onto the ring apron. He was able to get AJ on his shoulders, and he kind of dumped him forward face-first onto the apron. Ran him into the ring steps ahead of a commercial break. I'm sensing a pattern here. Follow along with me. In the opening match on this show, right, we had Alexa Bliss one-on-one with Bayley. It was Alexa Bliss going into the ring post on the outside ahead of the first commercial break. Here in this match, match number two, we had AJ Styles in the opening moments of the match on the outside of the ring being run not into the ring post, but being run into the ring steps. Not the first time that we've seen this formula play out on this show. One of the things that I was hopeful for when Triple H stepped in for Vince McMahon, and we've seen some changes for the, you know, positive, but one of the changes I was hoping to see was the end of these formulas. This type of formulaic booking and formatting of the shows. And unfortunately, we haven't gotten that. It's the same fucking format. It's the same fucking formula that we always get. The match starts. 90 seconds later, somebody gets run into the post. Somebody gets run into the steps. They zoom in on the person. Can so-and-so get back into the match? And they cut to a break. Every single week. You could set your watch to it. Here we are now in December. Triple H has been operating as the head of creative since July. They are operating under the same exact formula they did under Vince McMahon. On that end, nothing has changed. Styles caught Gable in a calf crusher later on. Gable rolled out of it, countered into an ankle lock. Styles rolled out of that. Gable put him down with a Northern Lights suplex for two. AJ avoided a top rope moonsault and then hit the Styles Clash to pick up the win. Good match, but we've seen it already. And again, when it comes to the Chad Gable matches, there's no drama to it because we already know who's going to win. We already know who's going to win. The one time that Gable did win was against Matt Riddle last month, and now we know why. That's the one singles win on television I think that Gable's had at least since, I think it was June when I looked it up. And after the news of tonight, now it all makes sense why it came against Matt Riddle. Johnny Gargano and Dexter Lumis, they were in the back to figure out how to spend the rest of the money that Dexter Lumis won from The Miz. He's walking around with that giant sack with all the dollar bills in it. They're trying to figure out how to spend this money. Candice LeRae told them that maybe the reason that you're having trouble figuring out what to do with all this money and how to spend all this money is because you already have everything you need. Maybe there's nothing else that you need. And then she reminded them that it's the holiday season and it is the season of giving. It's like Justin in the chat gifting 10 memberships to people here before I even went live, right? It's the season of giving. And then she walked off because Candice had a match later on in the night with Io Sky. Johnny Gargano looked like all of a sudden he had this eureka moment, and he told Dexter, grab the money and follow me. We had a six-man tag with Finn Balor, Damian Priest, and Dominic Mysterio representing the Judgment Day, taking on the Street Profits and Akira Tozawa. Before the match, Kathy Kelly was in the back at the gorilla position with the Profits and with Tozawa. And she asked the Prophets why they helped Tozawa last week. I am so interested in this Monday Night Raw program that I have no memory of what happened last week with Tozawa and the Street Profits. So somebody, please remind me, refresh my memory. What exactly happened last week with Tozawa and the Street Profits? Because with some of these shows, once they're done and my review is done, that's it. It's in one ear and out the other. I don't fucking remember what happened with Akira Tozawa last week. But she asked them, why'd you save Tozawa? And Montez Ford said, we helped Tozawa because he's Akira Tozawa. And Angelo Dawkins said that Tozawa was my ninja. Make sure I say it the right way. Tozawa then yelled, we want the smoke, and he drank whatever was in his red solo cup, and whatever it was, it might have been a very strong coffee, clearly not decaf. He started freaking out. He ripped the cup in half, screamed, then they all screamed, and then they walked out to their... I screamed too while I was watching this show, although for very different reasons. Hey, I just realized one thing, actually. One positive thing about this show tonight. It just hit me now. No JBL and Baron Corbin. That's a plus. So there was a spot where Damian Priest body checked Montez Ford over the announce desk, and he nearly cleared the announce desk without even touching it. He went sailing over. He took a bad bump too. Bad as far as, like, I'm sure it didn't feel good when he hit the floor, and I think he hit the chair, the announce chair on the way down. So that was a tough bump to take. Eventually Ford got the hot tag. Well, you know what? It wasn't much. In all honesty, it was not much of a hot tag. This was not a great crowd tonight. And I heard from one person, a fan of the show, who was in the building, and he said that the crowd seemed, you know, fairly into it. He hoped it was coming across that way on TV, and I'm just thinking, no. No. It did not come across that way at all on TV. So this was not, this was less of a hot tag and just more of a tag as Angelo Dawkins came into the match. He ran wild on the heels. Tozawa and Dominic both tagged in. Tozawa was the first person to get a reaction all night long. Like a real reaction. Even more than Becky Lynch at the beginning when she ran out and was beating up Dakota and Io. Tozawa got a real reaction here from the crowd. They were getting into him, right? He was a ball of energy in the ring. So Tozawa hit Dom with some rapid-fire punches. Dominic ducked a kick, hit Tozawa with some elbows. Tozawa came back with a missile drop kick. Tozawa sent Dominic out to the floor and hit him with a suicide dive. Back inside now, Tozawa hit Balor and Dominic both with DDTs, which got a great reaction from the crowd. Tozawa went to the ropes. Priest, though, was standing on the apron, and he ends up giving Tozawa a razor's edge. While standing on the apron, just dumps him right in the ring with the razor's edge. Referee did not see this. Because the referee was distracted. That led to Dominic then taking the pinfall on Tozawa, and so the Judgment Day picks up the win. I love the Razor's Edge. So I love the fact that they won with the Razor's Edge. And Priest is even taller than Razor was, right? He's a big guy. So, you know, when he picks up someone like Tozawa and dumps them down, it just looks brutal. So I love that finish. It's going to take some time to get me to really care all that much about Tozawa. I mean, given what he's been doing for the last, I mean, how many years has it been that he's been doing this 24/7 title comedy stuff? In at least 2 years, maybe three, right? I mean, it's just usually just comic relief. And now they're trying to really integrate him more into the show. You know, he's still doing comedy type stuff, but you know, the crowd was getting into him tonight, which was encouraging to see. And I'm glad that they're at least trying something with him other than the 24/7 stuff. Hopefully he continues to get over in the same way that he got over tonight. Because again, these fans were reacting to him more than, and that's more than I can say for a lot of people on this show, including stars who are much bigger than he is. So back to Gargano and Loomis. They were at a different part of the building now. And Gargano and Loomis walked up to a merch stand that was somewhere in the concourse, right? You could see the fans were being held back on the side. They go up to the merch table with their big bag of cash. They want to buy up a bunch of WWE merchandise. They loaded up all the merch under their arms to go head out to the ring. They were going to give out the merch to the fans. Dexter Loomis, as they were walking away, he looks over and he sees a father holding up his little boy. And he walks over to the little boy and he hands him a stuffed bear. And the boy takes the bear and says, "Thank you." And Dexter walks off. It was a heartwarming moment from the stalker slash would-be serial killer. Touching. Very tender moment. After a break, Gargano and Loomis made their way out to the ringside area while Loomis was dragging a cart filled with merchandise. And what followed is what it... Here's the best way I can describe this. What followed is what it looks like when you have a television program that really is 2 hours long, but is masquerading as a three-hour show. This is what you end up with. This is the segment where it really hits you that they are just dragging this thing out as long as humanly possible because they have 3 hours of television time to fill. This felt like it would never, ever end. They walk out there. They're playing Christmas music in the background as they're giving out gifts to the crowd. Gargano talked about how much he and Loomis had to be thankful for. Gargano talked about how his son, Baby Wrestling, was born this year. What a great year it's been for him coming to Monday Night Raw. Loomis, in the meantime, was throwing various items into the crowd. They played Christmas music. Gargano said they wanted to give back to the fans by giving some cool stuff. Nothing like buying the crowd's love here on this show, right? Nothing like bribing the crowd into cheering for you. So Gargano hopped onto the broadcast table. Loomis pulled out a t-shirt gun and gave it to Johnny, and Gargano shot some items into the crowd. All of a sudden, The Miz showed up. Now, we didn't know it was The Miz at first because it was somebody dressed in all black, like an all-black hoodie with the hood pulled over. But it was The Miz. And he shoved Loomis, who knocked Gargano down on the table. Miz grabbed the bag of cash like fucking Bobby Heenan, grabbing that bag with the $25,000, or was it $15,000, right? $15,000 for the Body Slam Challenge at WrestleMania 1. When Andre beat Big John Studd and he started throwing money out into the crowd, boy, Bobby, he couldn't come fast enough to snatch that bag away from Andre. That's what Miz did here. He snatched the bag away. And he was trying to make his getaway. Adam Pearce, though, comes out. And he blocks Miz from going to the back. And he orders Miz to go back and give Loomis his money. Miz got a microphone. He got in the ring with them. He said, "Look, this is my money." And Loomis started to leave. Gargano said that he was going to get an axe. Pearce stopped Dexter and says, "We don't need an axe." Miz said that he was desperate. And he would even agree to face Loomis in a rematch next week, if that's what it took, with the money on the line. Gargano whispered something to Dexter. Gargano then referred to Miz by his first name. Miz said, "No, my name is, I'm the Miz." And Gargano called him Mike anyway, so the whole crowd started chanting Mike. Johnny said that if Adam Pearce was cool with it, Loomis was willing to give Miz a chance to win his money back in a rematch next week. He suggested raising the stakes by making it a ladder match and hanging the cash above the ring. He said that whoever climbed the ladder and retrieved both bags of money would win it all. And the Miz heard this and he said, wait a minute. What do you mean both bags? What are you talking about? And Gargano said, "Well, Loomis is putting up something. He's putting up his money, so you should have to do the same." And he said, "Let's do it. Double or nothing." Gargano to AEW next year, confirmed. Miz said he didn't have cash. Gargano said, "Please, everybody knows how rich you are. All you ever do is talk about how much money you have." And the Miz said, "Yeah, I'm rich, but I'm not liquid." And Maurice is the one who has power over all of the accounts. And he said that Maurice gives him an allowance as well. And the crowd chanted tiny balls at Miz. Gargano said the other catch was that Miz needed to help them give away the rest of the merch later on tonight, dressed in an elf costume. And if he didn't agree to this, then the match is off next week. So this is part and parcel of what he had to do. Adam Pearce told Miz to go get his elf costume on. And thankfully, we didn't have any additional segments here because this one went on long enough, but interspersed throughout the rest of the show, they showed still photos of Miz with a big sour puss on his face as he was handing gifts out to all of the little brats in the crowd. So, there you go. Again, If you want an example of a segment that exists purely to kill as much time as humanly possible, this is it. And I get that Triple H's hands are tied. They have a contract. They're contracted to the third hour. It's not like he gets power and he can wave his magic wand or his magic sledgehammer and just make the third hour go away. It doesn't work like that. I'm just pointing out the obvious here. Because there are weeks, rare as they may be, where Raw will actually fire on all cylinders, right? We had a bunch of shows like that when Triple H first took over. And it's like, all right, you can do a three-hour show, and it may not be perfect, but you can certainly do one where there's enough interesting stuff on the show where when it's over, it's like, okay, this show kind of breezed by more than usual, right? It's at least doable. It's possible. But it's a tough thing to do every single week when you just don't have that many interesting stories to justify 3 hours of television. I said, the Bobby Lashley thing at the end of the show was the most interesting thing. Asuka, you know, they're doing a slow burn, but they're clearly building to something with her. Maybe there's one other thing. I mean, at most, I think you point to three things maybe on this show that I would look at and go, hey, that's something that interests me. On a three-hour show, I mean, that's just not enough. So it's not just a matter of the length of the show. It's how do you fill those 3 hours? Are there enough compelling stories? Are you mixing the talent up enough to keep people's interest? Or does it feel like there's a sameness to it? Yes, there does. There does feel like there's a sameness to it. And, you know, Johnny Gargano now has been on the main roster for a few months. I don't know what they're doing with him, to be honest with you. It almost makes me wonder if they had plans with him and Tommaso Ciampa. Because I would have put the two of them together. And then Ciampa got hurt. He had surgery. He's going to be gone for a while. It makes me wonder if maybe there was some kind of working plan to do something with him and Ciampa. And when Ciampa got hurt, it fucked up all their plans. Because remember, Ciampa was with The Miz. Gargano feuded with The Miz. Gargano was still feuding with The Miz. I would not at all be surprised to find out that they had plans for something with Gargano and Ciampa, and Ciampa's injury just scuttled all those plans. Candice LeRae, one half of the women's tag team champions, Io Sky. Two of them went one-on-one here on this show. Dakota and Io are going to be defending their tag team titles on SmackDown this Friday, by the way, against the brand new tag team of Liv Morgan and Tegan Nox. Now, you could look at this and say, Tegan Nox has been back for 2 weeks. What did Tegan Nox do to justify a tag team championship match? And I would remind you that before Tegan Nox was released by the company and was moved to Monday Night Raw, where I don't believe she ever debuted before they released her, she was in a tag team with Shotzi, I think it was, right? With Shotzi on SmackDown. They had earned a women's tag team title match. I don't recall them ever getting a women's tag team title match. So I'm okay with Tegan Nox getting her shot because it's overdue. She should have had her shot over a year ago. She's getting it now with a new partner. Bayley sat down to do commentary, but they didn't have a headset ready for her and ready and working for her. So she went to ringside to watch the match instead with Dakota, just as they cut to commercial. Candice hit a rough-looking Poison Rana on the floor to Io. Didn't get the full... Actually, in a way, it was kind of a safer version of it because Io didn't land directly on top of her head. But I don't think it was intended to be that way, so it looked a little rough. Referee went to go check on Io. She seemed to be okay. Then she hit a palm strike and a delayed German into a bridge for a two count. Io went up top for her finish, but Candice cut her off. And Candice went for her swinging neck breaker from the middle rope, but she got shoved off. And Io then went up top, hit her moonsault, and got the 1-2-3. Picture-perfect moonsault here by Io Sky. And the finish made sense to have Io go over because Io is defending the titles with Dakota on Friday night. She should not go into that match on Friday with a loss. So it was the right outcome. But the crowds are still not reacting to Candice LeRae. And she's been back for a while now, and it might happen at some point. You know, the people did come around to Mia Yim, at least on that one show. I guess we haven't seen her in the ring since, except War Games, but maybe it'll happen for Candice. It hasn't happened yet. She's out there, the poison pixie, you know. People sit on their hands. They don't react. So they replayed the injury angle last week with Solo Sikoa taking out Matt Riddle and reiterated that Riddle is going to be gone for 6 weeks. In the back, Kathy Kelly tried to interview Kevin Owens about what happened to Riddle. She wanted his thoughts on this. And before Owens could even respond, Elias showed up. And I wish I clipped it. Owens had this priceless expression. His mouth, his jaw was just agape. He couldn't believe that this guy had the audacity to, him of all people, to interrupt him here during this segment. He wanted to know if he could count on KO to watch his back tonight, because he was going to be in the ring later with Solo Sikoa. And he wanted Kevin Owens to tell him that I have your back. I had the same reaction that Kevin Owens did. Are you fucking kidding me? Who does this guy think he is? So Owens went off on him and all the trauma that he had to endure earlier this year, as we did with the Ezekiel shit. And here this guy wants him to watch his back. He can't even believe that he asked him that question. And Elias blamed his brother for that. Owens said, even if I believed you, even if I took you at face value, you hit me in the head with a guitar. Why would I watch your back? And Elias didn't have a good answer. He said, look, I would like to put the past behind us. I'd like to look ahead. I need you. I need your help. And Owens just walked away. Then he came back and just stared at him incredulously, didn't say anything, and then walked away again. The fucking balls on this guy. So then we had Elias one-on-one with Solo Sikoa. See, we are 10 likes away already. Look at that, from hitting our goal. 10 likes away from Be the Booker. Let's see if we can hit 400. So before the match, Elias is in the ring. And he's sitting on his stool and the lights are dimmed and he has his guitar with him. And he had a photo on a placard behind him on an easel. I think it was on an easel. Big photo, big blown up photo of Matt Riddle. And he had his bongo drums were behind him. And Elias thanked the fans for coming to the Matt Riddle tribute concert. You would think this guy died. My God, a tribute concert. They have the guy's picture up there, his bongos. The only thing missing was the casket. So it was the Matt Riddle tribute concert. He said Riddle's dream was to perform with him in the ring and that Riddle won him over and he misses him. And last week he found some lyrics that Riddle had written and he wanted to perform the song called Elias, You're My Hero. So he sang the song until Solo Sikoa and Sami Zayn interrupted to begin their match. Sikoa was jumped by Elias at the beginning of the match. Elias kicked Solo to the floor, and Sikoa just lost his mind. He went and grabbed a chair. Sami Zayn had to come over to calm him down. Elias nailed a couple of corner splashes and put Sikoa down as they cut to a commercial break. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. We have all had car troubles, computer problems, something breaks down or it isn't working the right way, and it can be a real pain in the butt trying to figure out how to fix it. Life doesn't always come with a user manual, even when these things do come with one. I always misplace them. I can't find where they are. Therapists are trained to help you figure out what's causing your problems, making therapy the closest thing to a guided tour of you that there is. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, secure, and accessible anywhere, 100% online. Therapy can bring a host of benefits, like learning important coping skills, self-empowerment, and dealing with trauma. Or maybe it's something you'd consider small that's been bothering you and you don't know how to deal with it. When it's happening to you, though, it never feels small. Trust me, I've been there myself. Everyone deserves to feel their best. BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. It's the world's largest therapy service, having matched millions of people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists. It has the benefits of in-person therapy, but it's more convenient and more affordable, which I know can be a big sticking point for people these days. Just fill out a short questionnaire to match with a therapist. If you try it and you don't think things are working out, it's easy to switch to a different therapist that you do feel comfortable with. So if you're feeling stuck, get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/solomonster. That's betterhelp.com/solomonster. So anyway, after the break, we cut to the end here. Elias is bickering with Sami Zayn. Sami's trying to get his attention. He's bickering with him. But he sees Solo now coming up from behind, so he sidesteps him, and he rolls him up for a two count. Sokoa superkicked Elias, though, and followed that with the spinning Solo and got the win. Solo attacked Elias after the match was over. Sami picked him up and was holding him while Sokoa delivered the Umaga Samoan spike with the taped thumb right to the throat, just like he did to Riddle the week before. He went outside the ring. Solo grabbed a chair. He wrapped it around Elias's neck in the corner, and he was getting ready to do to him what he did to Matt Riddle. When here comes Kevin Owens to make the save, no music. He just comes down to the ring, and he gives Solo a stunner. Sami fled to the outside, so there was no physicality between Owens and Zayn. They're keeping the two of them apart. Elias then comes up from behind Owens. Seemingly he was trying to thank him. It was almost like he was putting his hand on his shoulder. As soon as he touches Kevin Owens, Owens turns around, he kicks him, and he delivers a stunner, and he lays out Elias, which makes him nothing but a total 100% babyface in my book. So look, I mean, here's the deal with Elias. Elias was dead in the water, even without Matt Riddle, or I should say with Matt Riddle, right? They were doing stuff with him and Riddle, and you know, some people might have thought, oh, it's kind of funny or whatever, it's kind of entertaining. He was dead in the water with Riddle. Without Riddle, he's even more dead. I don't know if there's another way to even describe. When you're dead, you're dead. Is there some sort of like sub-dead? Is there like another version of dead? I guess undead, right? Maybe he's a fucking zombie. Maybe that's what he is now. Elias is a zombie on this roster. This is about as good as it's going to get for him. His meal ticket was Matt Riddle, and now he doesn't even have that. He should be praying that Matt Riddle comes back in 6 weeks and can leave the nose candy behind, because otherwise, he's in a world of trouble, because he got nothing going on. So we got a long video package after this for 20 years of tribute to the troops that WWE has been doing ever since those first shows when they went over to Iraq. So they're going to be doing another one. I think they pretty much just do them here, I think, on American soil now. But I think it's this weekend there's another one that's airing. They follow that up with a match here between Asuka and Rhea Ripley. And I mentioned earlier the teases on social media all week long from Asuka, posting old photos of her in the Kana makeup from her days in Japan, playing the Kana character. Corey Graves, during the match, was talking openly about Asuka once being the most feared woman in the entire division and how she's lost a lot of that. She's lost her edge. She came out here tonight. She was in her usual Asuka outfit, her usual music. She was not wearing, you know, any Kana makeup. But in a change, she wasn't wearing any makeup at all. She was completely devoid of any makeup. There was no face paint of any kind, no dancing, no smiling. She pulled the mask off. She's a beautiful woman. She shouldn't wear the makeup every single week. She got the makeup, like the green stuff that's coming from the eyes and the mouth and everything else. I like it much better without the makeup, to be honest with you, without the face paint. Although I would like to see Kana in WWE, but then I also think to myself, you know, in WWE, against these women, in this women's division, what does that version of Kana look like, right? Is she going to work the same kind of style that she worked over in Japan? Because those women over there, they beat the crap out of each other. I mean, they don't mess around, right? I'm looking at this WWE women's division, and I'm thinking to myself, who on that roster can really work that style with Asuka? Now, maybe Rhea can, right? I mean, they were working tonight pretty well together. Asuka was working pretty stiff in this match. Maybe Rhea can handle it. But then I think, can you imagine, like, Kana, like that version of Asuka in the ring with someone like Candice LeRae or, you know, the Poison Pixie? And I know Candice, back in her independent days, oh, believe me, I know, could take a beating like nobody else. But that's not the version of Candice LeRae we have in WWE. And she's a tiny woman. You know, Kana and Alexa Bliss, she would fucking kill Alexa Bliss. Are you kidding me? I'm not sure. She might not have any opponents to really work with this women's roster if she were truly going to bring the Kana gimmick to WWE. Oh, I would like to see some version of it, though. But anyway, so in this match, Ripley was using her power to shove Asuka to the mat early on, just kind of toying with her. Asuka rolled Ripley into an armbar, and Rhea brought Asuka to the ring apron. She was going to try to suplex her on the ring apron. Didn't work, though. Asuka used a hip attack to send Ripley into the ring post, and then Asuka performed a code breaker on the apron that sent her to the floor. Dominic went over to check on his mommy as they cut to commercial. Later on, Asuka knocked Ripley off the apron with a hip attack, and Dominic checked on Rhea again, and Asuka this time went outside the ring. She was going to go over to Rhea when Dominic stood in the way and said, if you want to get to her, you got to go through me. And Asuka went to go throw a kick. Dominic ducked it, and he was begging off from Asuka. And Ripley took advantage of the distraction, ran Asuka into the ring post. Back inside, Ripley went for the Riptide. Asuka, though, got a really cool counter into an Asuka lie. I love the way she countered out of the Riptide attempt right into the chicken wing. I thought that was very cool. She took Rhea down with the body scissors, and she had nowhere to go. Rhea, you know, she's got those long legs, but she wasn't really close enough to the rope. She was trying to put her leg on the bottom rope, and she couldn't get there. So eventually, Dominic just grabbed her leg and placed it on the rope, and then pointed to the referee, hey, she's got her foot on the rope. So then Dominic gets up on the apron, and Asuka walks up, and you knew what was coming because Asuka had her mouth closed up tight, right? So you knew that she was about to spit mist, but she spit blue mist into the eyes of Dominic, who immediately sold it like he was blind, and he was just flailing around, and he sold this hilariously, and he started screaming for his mommy. Mommy, mommy, I can't see. Mommy, I can't see anything. Rhea shoved Asuka into Dominic, which knocked him off the apron, and then she hit the Riptide and pinned Asuka to win the match. After the match was over, Ripley went over to tend to Dominic and helped him up, tried to, towel off the mist and was, asking for help, asking for water to wash it out of his eyes. And as I said, with the various colors of mist, the blue mist is supposed to put you to sleep. That did not happen here. He sold it like his eyes were burning, like me. It's funny, actually, that this happened. True story. I was, it's at Salamas or After Dark here, taking a shower earlier before the show, got some shampoo in my eye. Not because it came down. Naturally, shampoo sometimes goes in your eyes. As I was closing the shampoo bottle, I guess some of it snapped back right into my fucking eye. That shit burns, all right? I look like Dominic in the shower. Like, no joke, I look like Dominic Mysterio in the shower, only I wasn't calling for my mommy. But I'm, like, flailing around. I was using language that Dominic wouldn't be allowed to use on USA Network, but that shit burned, okay? I'm still feeling it now. So I can relate to what happened to Dominic tonight. I mean, it's not the same as Asian mist, but still, that shit sucks. So as far as Asuka goes, poor Asuka. She looked distraught when this match was over. She looked like she was on the verge of tears. They are telling a story with her. I do believe that either, not that they're going to call her Kana, but some version of that is coming, probably with the clown makeup, some kind of new face paint. I do think that's what they're building to, because look, this is a woman who has lost her edge. That's the story Corey Graves was talking about on commentary. She used to be the most feared competitor in the women's division in WWE, and now it feels like she loses more than she wins. And it's been a while, right, since she's been a champion in WWE, so she's lost her edge. Tonight we saw some signs of her, potentially getting it back. I thought she looked good in the ring, laying her shit in. It was a more serious Asuka here that she was wrestling as tonight. Unfortunately, the crowd was very quiet for the majority of this match, and that was a problem throughout much of this show. I don't just blame Rhea and Asuka for that. That was a problem in most matches tonight on this television show. But Asuka has been in dire need of a character shakeup for a very long time. So I'm very hopeful now that they are building to something like that very soon, because they got to do something with her. She's far too good to be wasting away just being fucking emo and losing matches every week on TV. So in the back, Dominic was still blind and was being treated on the trainer's table. He kept shouting, "Mommy, it burns, mommy, it burns," and questioned who the trainer was, because this guy kept trying to put eye drops in his eye, and he can't see who it is, but he's like, is this guy licensed? Which I laughed at that. Is this guy even licensed? Can he be doing this? So Damian Priest, this was the line of the night. Damian Priest he's trying to cheer up Don, because they're all in there. Balor's there, Priest is there, Rhea's there, they're trying to calm him down. And Priest he's trying to cheer him up. And he tells Dominic, something else could burn worse. Which, not for nothing, he's not wrong when he says that. Rhea smacked him when he said that. And then Rhea told the trainer to do something to help Dominic. So there you go. Priest with the line of the night here on this television program. Yeah, it is amazing how the Judgment Day has gone from an act that I thought was stone cold and was pretty much dead in the water after, you know, a lot of misfires with them early on, and it just didn't seem like it was going to catch on, and they were going to probably end up just moving on from it. This is before Dominic even joined. How we've gone from that point here, 6 months later, they're one of the best parts of Monday Night Raw. Especially the dynamic with Rhea and Dominic, I think, is entertaining. But, you know, Priest also, I don't think that Priest gets enough credit also. He's doing his part too, so I've been enjoying the Judgment Day stuff. Dolph Ziggler was in the back, which pretty much ended the stuff I was enjoying. He was in the back, cutting a promo on the importance of the United States Championship. And he said Seth Rollins and Bobby Lashley are going to go to war tonight for the right to challenge Austin Theory for that title. He said Theory has done a lot in a short period of time, but he walks around with a chip on his shoulder. Ziggler said that Theory's cocky arrogance will be his downfall, and he told him to watch his back. That brought us to our main event. Seth Rollins, one-on-one with Bobby Lashley. Number one contenders match for the United States Championship. Lashley clotheslined Rollins to ringside right from the onset here. Rollins came back and hit Lashley with a flying knee off the apron. Lashley picked up the top part of the ring steps and went to go use it. The referee talked him out of it. And Rollins charged Lashley, who backdropped Rollins over the barricade into the crowd heading into the final break of the night. After the break, Lashley caught Rollins on his shoulders outside, ran him headfirst into the ring post. Rollins came back, made a comeback. He tried for the curb stomp. And I've not seen anybody no-sell it in this way before, where he went, not even Brock, where he jumped up and he went for the curb stomp, and Lashley said, I don't think so. And Lashley just didn't budge. His neck was so strong that he resisted the stomp, and Lashley, or Rollins, was unable to finish the stomp. Lashley got up, he hit him with a power slam, and he went for the hurt lock. As he was trying to get the hurt lock applied, Rollins was trying to just wiggle his way out of it, and he backed up into the corner. And as they were backing up towards the corner, they collided, or Lashley collided, with the referee, Chad Patton, who got knocked to the floor. Now, he wasn't knocked out, but he was selling it like he maybe rolled his ankle. He was hobbling around on one leg. In the ring, Lashley hit the spear. He went for the pin, but there was no referee. And eventually, the referee did get back inside and counted. Rollins kicked out at 2.5. And Lashley was not very happy about this. And he was trying for another spear. So as he was readying for another spear, he comes charging in. And Rollins jumps up, catches him, and delivers a pedigree. We've seen him do that spot many times before. But this time he won with it. And he pinned Lashley. I think Ashley, I'm trying to think, did he beat Roman Reigns with that? No, he did not beat Roman. He used that on Roman Reigns, and then I think he delivered a regular pedigree when Rollins came back from his knee injury and won the WWE title. That was an out of Money in the Bank. When Dean Ambrose came out after that and cashed in, all three members of the Shield, WWE champion in the same night. That might have been the first time I can remember Rollins hitting that maneuver where somebody comes in for a spear and he jumps up and hits the pedigree. So anyway, he was able to win the match with it, and now Seth Rollins is the number one contender for the United States Championship. I was surprised there was no Austin Theory. There was no Dolph Ziggler to come out after Austin Theory. I was a little fearful that there would be, and then you know they would use that to then run things back with maybe a triple threat to determine a number one contender. They didn't do that. You know, there was some shenanigans at the end, but otherwise it was just strictly one-on-one. It became very clear when the match was over why they did not have Theory or Ziggler interfere because of what happened after the match was over. Then it made sense. Lashley grabbed the referee. He was very upset. And he pushed the referee back into the corner. A second referee came out to talk Lashley down. Lashley accidentally elbowed the second referee. And so down he went. Adam Pearce runs out. He's scolding Lashley. And he reminds Lashley that previously, was it last week or the week before, he told Lashley, he says, if this happens again, my hands are tied. There will be consequences. So he's reminding him of that. And then Lashley doesn't want to hear it. He kind of shoves Pearce aside and he shoves him into the barricade. And now that angers Adam Pearce, who comes back and tells Bobby Lashley, you're fired. And then Adam Pearce heads to the back. And Lashley cannot believe what he just heard. He cannot believe that this man had the gall to fire him. Now, look, it's not as if they have different general managers like they used to. There was a GM for Raw and a GM for SmackDown. Somebody would get fired from one brand, they'd show up on another, right? Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn made a mockery of that once, where I think they were fired from SmackDown. They showed up on Raw. They were lobbying for a job. Well, those days are over. Adam Pearce is just a WWE official. He's kind of the de facto GM for all the shows except NXT. So you can't really say, well, Lashley got fired by Adam Pearce. He'll just go to SmackDown. Can't do that because they're not really separate shows. And there's no other person for him to go lobby for a job from. It'll be Adam Pearce on SmackDown, just like it's Adam Pearce on Raw. So I don't think it's just a matter of moving him from one brand to another. And frankly, I don't see the point in him showing up in NXT, but who the fuck knows? We have New Day as tag team champions now in NXT. Anything's possible. I don't see that happening, though. I'm very curious, though, how and when they bring him back. And I do think that perhaps we are on the verge of a Hurt Business reunion. It's something that Lashley has openly talked about wanting. I think Triple H is probably going to be more open to the idea than Vince McMahon was. Vince McMahon was the one who wanted to kill the Hurt Business. Even they lobbied for it behind the scenes, MVP, Lashley, and it fell on deaf ears. I would think that if Lashley felt that strongly about it and went to Triple H and said, hey, Hunter, you know, can I talk to you? I really think there's some juice left in this Hurt Business thing. I know you're a fan of those guys. I know you're a fan of Cedric Alexander. You're the one who signed him in NXT. Remember from the Cruiserweight Classic? We know Triple H is a fan of Cedric. I think he would be more open and receptive to the idea of bringing the Hurt Business back. Where's MVP been? MVP's with Omos. We barely see him. I'm okay with barely seeing Omos, but MVP, it feels like he's being wasted. So why not just put them all together? Get something going with those guys. That's what I think may be going on. But they piqued my curiosity now as far as, you know, again, where exactly they're going to go with this. But honestly, I felt like it was the only real interesting twist on this entire show, and they saved it for the very end of the show. They really feel like they are phoning it in right now. And as I said at the beginning of the stream, you could argue that this time of year can be a real, you know, chore sitting through these shows. But Raw has been this way now for weeks. I don't want to excuse Triple H by blaming it on the calendar. Oh, it's December. It's always like this. Doesn't have to be like this. So I'm just waiting for the Royal Rumble now. I'm just counting down the weeks until the Rumble gets here because what they've been giving us here on Monday Night Raw has not been very interesting at all. These shows are a fucking chore to sit through. And I, you know, try to keep an open mind on some of these things and new stories that they're trying, and it's just not working. And clearly it's not working for a lot of the people in these buildings because Most weeks, it feels like these people are there to watch a tennis match and not a wrestling show. They're not there to make noise. They're there to just observe. So I know I'm not the only one who's not overly excited by what they're seeing on these television shows. I don't feel like I'm in the minority on that viewpoint. Boring Raw. A very boring episode of Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Bore. What can I say? Here's a Twitter poll. Well, I mean, there it is. I mean, need I say more? 27% thumbs up. Yeah, sounds like a real winner of a show. 27% thumbs up, 35% thumbs in the middle, and 37.4% thumbs down. At Solomonster on Twitter is where you can go vote in these polls. Where have Shelton and Cedric been? Yeah, catering is pretty much where they would be. Right? They're having some chicken breast, they're having some tuna, and they're just waiting. They're waiting for that Hurt Business reunion because they know if there's no Hurt Business reunion, there's not going to be anything for them to do. Let's be perfectly honest. Nobody is hoping for a Hurt Business reunion more than Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. Bobby Lashley doesn't need it. Bobby Lashley's got his spot, right? His spot is secure. He knows that. But he's friends with those guys. I think he enjoyed working with them. And, you know, again, during those pandemic era shows when they were running Raw out of the Performance Center, the Hurt Business was like, that was the cool thing about Raw. That was one of the few watchable things about those shows. There was no reason to break them up that soon. So, yeah, I think that there is definitely juice left in it. And, you know, hopefully Lashley will go to bat for them and maybe we'll get the Hurt Business back. Perhaps. Perhaps we will. Let's check out your super chats because I know you have a lot of things to say. I saw a lot of messages flashing across my screen as I was trying not to be distracted by all of you. You're a very distracting bunch. I love you anyway, but you are a very distracting bunch. ListFan says the first 20 minutes of the show were good. How did I know you were going to say that? How did I know that BlizzFan was going to like the first 20 minutes of the show more than any other part of the show? Tyler dropped a couple of super chats. Wanted to know how I feel about Regal as vice president in WWE. I think that it's great. WWE has many vice presidents. He is not the vice president, but he is a vice president. And I think it would be very poetic to find out. Because I saw the same clip that I know a lot of you saw when he did the Inside the Ropes show over in the UK. He sat down and was talking about his time in AEW. Apparently that was recorded back in October. Which is interesting because that means that at that point, by that point, he had already put the request in with Tony Khan asking for his release. Or asking that they don't renew his option at the end of the year. So when he sat down for that interview, he already knew that he was out, or at least that he had asked to be out. But he said something very interesting that I don't think anybody was aware of previously. And he was referring to someone in WWE management as the idiot. And of course, he didn't want to name names or anything, so he kept it vague. But now everybody is going to speculate on who the idiot is. And it's not Vince McMahon. He was very complimentary of Vince McMahon. As I would expect him to be, because he is a gentleman. But my first thought when he said idiot was Bruce Pritchard, because we had heard stories that Bruce was basically overseeing NXT, not that he was writing the show, but that it was now being filtered through him. So that was my first thought, is that he was referring to Bruce Pritchard. Could he have been referring to John Laurinaitis? Maybe. I don't see what the point of that would be if he was in charge of talent relations. I don't see what that has to do with NXT. Kevin Dunn. I think Kevin Dunn has always basically overseen production on both shows. So, again, Bruce was the first person I thought of. But what's interesting to me about that is in this position as vice president, that would put him at least on par with Bruce, if not above Bruce. So how about... I don't want to say that Regal is going to be Bruce's boss, but oh, what poetic justice would there be if this idiot that he was referring to now had to answer to William Regal? How fucking great would that be? So I'm happy for him. I hope he does well. Bobby's World, 2110 with the $10 super chat. Hey, Solomonster, I think Roman should take a year off after he drops the titles. I know he's not full-time anyway, but I think we all could use the break, and his return will be a really big deal. I don't think he should take a year off, but I do think that he should take time off. I agree with that. I think after the run that he's been on, once he finally drops those titles, and if, let's say, the bloodline does dissolve and go their separate ways, I think Roman taking a few months off would be well-deserved, and it would give everybody a break. And it would make him mean more when he eventually comes back. A year is too long. It's not like they have a lot of stars on the level of the Roman Reigns types. So to lose Roman Reigns to something other than an injury for a year just seems nonsensical to me. I wouldn't, you know, disappear him for a year. But I think a few months off would make sense. Chris Miner, what will it take for USA wanting 2 hours again? People stop watching the third hour of Raw, which is not going to happen. The numbers are pretty stable. I mean, it would have to be a complete and total collapse of the viewership in the third hour of Raw. Otherwise, I don't think USA is going to budge. Now, here's what will be very interesting. When their television rights negotiations take place next year, you know, you asked me, what's my early prediction? How do I think things are going to go? They've had the relationship with USA Network for so long. Except for that five-year period where they left and went to TNN, they've been with USA going back to the early 80s. And I can't imagine, you know, they have the relationship with NBC Universal and Peacock and all that. I think they'll make a huge play to keep them. I think they'll probably stay right where they are on USA Network. But you hear Nick Khan at these investor calls talking about how they're paying very close attention to the major streamers. So Apple, you know, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney would be part of that, Disney Plus. And there's always the possibility that WWE takes a better deal from a streaming service or someplace other than NBC Universal. If that happens, there's a much better chance they can bring Raw back to 2 hours. It's not a guarantee, because an Amazon or a Netflix may say, well, we're buying the three-hour version of Raw. My hope would be if they leave, that's our best shot to get 2 hours back. This show cannot be 3 hours. So I'm actually, in a way, kind of hoping they leave USA, because that may be our only shot. That may be the only chance we have. Josiah Ball, what's up, Solo? I'm thinking Asuka is going to join with Alexa and Bray Wyatt with her old clown gimmick. What do you think? Josiah, no, I don't see Asuka. I know there's some similarities there. You know, we're talking about Alexa Bliss, you know, Dark Alexa. And now Asuka is showing signs of Dark Asuka. Everyone's going dark. But I don't see there being a connection between the two. I don't think that's necessary. Shin, super kick Akuma. We are getting Kana, or am I wrong? I think we're going to get some version of that. Yeah, I agree. Queen Fire Panda, GWO for life. Join us today. We have cookies. I work alone. Brock Benningfield. Asuka blue mist tonight. Reminds me of one of my favorite sounds off when you explain what each color mist did to people. Yes, I did explain that. The misting scale many years ago. I had forgotten what the blue one did, so I had to look it up. And WWE completely ignored that tonight. They ignored the rules of the Asian Mist. Joseph Brooks, buy or sell on which reign was better, John Cena U.S. title open challenge or Y2J's Ring of Honor title challenges? Both were very, very good. Jericho had some very good matches. I was a bigger fan of the U.S. title open challenge stuff, personally. But Jericho had some very enjoyable matches during that run. MLK010 with the $5 super chat. If you could book a WWE New Japan Forbidden Door pay-per-view, what matches would you like to see happen? Seth Rollins against Will Ospreay would be a fun match. Yeah, I mean, I'd have to sit and come up with a car. I'm sure I could come up with a pretty kick-ass card. Maybe we should be the booker it one day. Right? We could do a be the booker. Yeah, Rollins and Ospreay, they've gone at each other on social media in the past. So, I mean, that would, you know, kind of make sense. I'm trying to think who I would match Okada up with. I feel like Rollins and Okada actually would have a pretty great match. I'd want Okada on the card. I'd want Tanahashi on the card. Ospreay's a must. He would need to be there. Ishii. Throw Suzuki. Hey, maybe we'll put... Asuka has been in the ring before with Suzuki. So, that was actually one of the more uncomfortable things that I've ever seen. Watching Suzuki beat the ever-loving shit out of Kana back in the day. Deontay Soigne, I heard what that like button said about Sky Blue. I'm gonna get that button. LOL. Much love, Solo. You're 5 times more entertaining than Raw. Yeah, that I'm telling you, man, that like button's been mouthing off about a lot of people. It's been smacked around quite a bit. I keep telling people to smack that thing. Devin from NJ2000. Does Solomos or take advice from veterans? I am never too good to not take advice from veterans. Unlike Hangman Page, I listen to advice. Doesn't mean I'm going to take it, but I at least listen. So Solomonster is not so arrogant as to not take advice from the vets. Jerry Ramey, Solomonster sounds off. Crap, Alexa emulating Bray again. We know how this ends. Run Wyndham. Oh, because Alexa got his gimmick. That's right. Well, I think his job is secure this time. Rizzo, I personally do not watch Raw live until after Monday Night Football, and from what you and the chat say, I have not missed much. Hope Riddle gets the help he needs. X-Raven with the $5 super chat. Louie in the chat says... Brown mist, more like diarrhea. Oh, I think we've all tried the brown mist before. The brown mist is the least pleasurable of all the mists. X-Raven says, I'm sure KP is really nice, Kevin Patrick, but he is just not good at commentary. Bad, actually. So bad it's distracting. I can feel Graves trying to pull him along. Kevin Patrick, I think, is good in small doses in... because I've heard him do commentary on Main Event. And on a show like that, I think that's fine. As a backstage person, he was fine. As a lead play-by-play guy on Raw, he's just not a good fit. He's just not a good fit. And that's not going to change either. It's not like, oh, he's bad, but he'll get better. Like, it's just, it doesn't work. He's not the right person for that role. But I think Triple H committed to him. Maybe Triple H genuinely likes him enough and thinks he's the right person for the job, but I think even if he didn't, even if he realizes, oh, I've made a terrible mistake, he's not going to embarrass the guy by replacing him only a few months after he put him in that spot. So, you know, we're pretty much stuck with him for a while. But yeah, I agree. It's just not the right role for him. Matthew W., you have mentioned that you think Brock and Bobby 3 should be at WrestleMania. If they do it at the Rumble, who do you like to see them face at WrestleMania? Well, by the way, Snow Dog, it's... Oh, they're going to get on you in the chat for that. It's not a British accent. He thinks Kevin Patrick is from England. Well, based on the story that's going around today, it sounds like we're getting Brock Lesnar and Gunther at WrestleMania. And it's not that I don't think that wouldn't be a fun match to see. I still don't feel like it would end well for Walter. But if they don't have Sheamus take the Intercontinental title from him, I'm going to be very disappointed. Even if it's not at WrestleMania, if they do it at the Royal Rumble, which is another big stadium show, I'd be okay with that too. But if we don't get Sheamus taking the IC title from him, I'm going to be very upset. going to be very disappointed. Bobby, I can't really say who Bobby matches up against at WrestleMania if not Brock, because I don't know where they're going with this fired storyline. I have no idea. I have no idea what they're going to do with Bobby Lashley. Rizzo says, I wonder how much losing Orton has hurt Riddle. Orton seems to be a good role model for him, and Randy has made these mistakes and has matured. I think that's a valid point. I mean, we didn't hear stories about this when RK-Bro was a thing. And apparently, the first time maybe he got popped, supposedly, on one of these tests would have been after Orton had been taken out with the injury. So maybe Orton was a positive influence on him. And not having him around, maybe things would have been different. I don't know. Vitamin Vision TV, is there a wellness policy for subscribers? Clearly not. No, we have no wellness policy here. It's pretty much the Wild West here in this chat. I saw Dr. Dakota Scorpio a little bit earlier on. This guy, you talk about swole. Holy shit, this guy's as big as a fucking house, jacked to the gills, man. I don't ask him how. I don't ask him what he's doing, what he's taking. There's no piss test here. There's no blood tests. We don't test here. You do what you want to do. Rizzo says, in Bianca's defense, I wouldn't move either if Alexa had me in the Sister Abigail. That's a fair point. If Alexa Bliss wanted to put me in Sister Abigail, I too would allow her to do whatever she wants. Queen Fire Panda. I will not have any Alexa Bliss entrance theme slander on your stream. Man, I am choking to death here. Entrance theme slander on your stream. Alexa Bliss's new music sucks. There was no reason to change from her old music. I think her new music is shit. There you go. I said what I said. Turtlehead, Bliss Fan was not happy with your assessment. I think Bliss Fan understands where I'm coming from, even if Bliss Fan does not agree. Bliss Fan knows I'm not coming at it from a place of hate. Queen Fire Panda, fun fact, to be labeled as a little person, you have to be at most 4'10". And Alexa Bliss is 5'1". How can anyone be scared of this woman? I don't know what Alexa Bliss is. I thought maybe she was like 5'2 or 5'3, but maybe she's smaller than that. I don't know. Zelina Vega is another one. I don't know. Zelina Vega seems about the same size as Alexa. So there's a lot of women, I feel like, on the rosters, both WWE and AEW, that are all kind of right around that same size. And then you have someone like Jade or Rhea who just kind of towers over them. Cameron Spencer. Corbin has never been interesting. Should WWE turn him babyface? Maybe he'll get over and actually show personality in that way. The best Baron Corbin was bum-ass Baron Corbin. He was over, I feel like, in that role. So I would love... Now, it's already been a case where I've been there, done that. But I would love to see broke-ass Corbin back. That was the most interesting I've ever found Baron Corbin. I know some people missed the lone wolf from NXT when he used to heel on all the independent guys. One of my favorite moments was from one of the takeovers. Might have been the first Brooklyn takeover, but he had a match with Apollo Crews, and I remember him... I think Apollo was on the outside. He was shouting at him outside the ring, go back to Ring of Honor. Meanwhile, I don't think Apollo was ever in Ring of Honor. I don't think he worked a single match for Ring of Honor. But that was like his go-to line. Go back to Ring of Honor. That and broke-ass Baron Corbin are the two times I actually found Baron Corbin to be interesting. Would a babyface turn work? Probably not. Justin Jack, why isn't Johnny wrestling? What the fuck? That's a good question. Johnny Wrestling is not wrestling. Ryan Wooldridge with the $2. Is Bobby Lashley really fired today from WWE? Yes. So there is it's almost like a prisoner swap. We just had a prisoner swap with Russia and the U.S. With Brittany Griner and the arms dealer. So WWE decided to get in on the game, and there was a prisoner swap between WWE and AEW. Tony Khan is sending William Regal back to Triple H. Triple H is sending Bobby Lashley to AEW. So there you go. I love seeing companies working together. Kevin Henry, have you ever seen Two Girls, One Cup? And we're not going to get into that here. Hulkling93 with the $5 super chat. As to a fan, I feel like she hasn't been as crisp as usual in her matches since returning, as if she hasn't acclimated to the main roster. What are your thoughts? Oh, as an EO fan. I didn't know if there was a part of your super chat that got left off there. Yeah, Io Sky, I feel like she's had some rough matches since she came to the main roster. Tonight, though, I thought, especially with that moonsault, I thought that was a picture-perfect moonsault at the end of that match. I think she's slowly acclimating. I agree. It's felt like there's been something off or something missing. I think part of it is just the fact also that she's been playing heel. And I think that she was really over as a babyface in NXT. And so that could be part of it also. You know, I feel like in a way she's been miscast here in this whole damage control thing. I think if she were a babyface, maybe things would be a little bit different. GCC 305. $10 super chat. As I am here at work, I got to thinking three celebrities that were wrestling fans that helped the industry that should be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Arsenio Hall, Regis Philbin, and Andy Kaufman. Do you agree? Yes. I think I've actually advocated for all of them at one time or another. I know I've advocated for Regis and for Kaufman. I think I've mentioned Arsenio before. Arsenio and Regis were very similar in that both of them were wrestling fans. And both of them brought tons of wrestlers on their show. Arsenio, his show used to be huge. And Regis was number one in daytime for like decades. And Regis would have wrestlers on his show and he would treat them respectfully and, you know, not mockingly like Letterman, you know, would sometimes like, I mean, I'll never forget Vince McMahon when he was on Letterman. And this is back in the 80s, like when like the Vince Jr. days. They did something on like a New Year's episode maybe, and Letterman was just, he was just so mockingly disrespectful to him. But that's just kind of how Letterman is. Although I will admit I do want to watch that Netflix special. I guess he went to Ukraine and sat down with Zelensky. I do want to watch that. But Arsenio and Regis both were huge advocates for wrestlers and would have them on their show. And at a time when they really could use that exposure in the mainstream media. So I think that they are as deserving as any celebrity to be in the Hall of Fame. And as far as Andy Kaufman, it's a no-brainer. He should be in. I mean, no questions asked. Absolutely. Unfortunately, two of the three are dead. Arsenio is still around. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, WWE version of Kana would be Krusty the Clown. Yeah, I do wonder what a WWE version of her would look like. Can you imagine like that version of Kana in a match with Alexa Bliss? Alexa would be in traction in the ICU at the end of that match. I don't think her body physically could hold up to that kind of beating. Deputy Dog in the chat says Arsenio had Jason Voorhees on his show once. He did. I remember that. All Jason did was just sit there. That was great. Rizzo says, shampoo in the eyes is brutal. I think we can all relate. Yeah, but again, you know, usually it's when it's in your head and it comes down into your eyes. That's one thing. This was just like closing the bottle and just a big gob of it just went right into my eyeball. Nick Grasso, what's your reaction to the reported Brock Gunther WrestleMania match? I just talked about that a few minutes ago. Already answered your question. Before I even read your question, I answered your question. Thank you, Nick. Silver Rules Gaming in the chat. How did that show come off at home? Just got back from the arena. Not very well. Crowd was deathly silent. That's how it came across on TV. Rizzo says, this actually makes sense, as allegedly Triple H is not fond of Bruce. Yeah, he's so not fond of Bruce that here we are now 5 months later and Bruce is still employed. Can't be that disappointed with Bruce if Bruce still has a job there. Louis, who needs sleeping pills when you have Raw? Good point. Rizzo, my prediction might surprise you. I think Amazon gets SmackDown. I would be surprised if WWE went all streaming. That's a good point. They could split them, right? Maintain a presence on cable, take one show and put that one on streaming. I think actually, in a way, that would be the smart way to go. But unfortunately, if Raw stays on USA, then we're not getting a two-hour show. Zombified Guitarist, she has been posting a lot of Kana pics on Twitter. Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. She was posting pictures last few days. And a video, too. There was a video of her putting on the Kana makeup as well. God of Seduction. Based Beerus, God of Seduction. Solo Mantar. Thanks. Now, Solo Mantar, I think, is the $75 super chat. Not the $2 super chat. But thank you, God of Seduction. King Bling Blah says, play along. What if WWE goes to TNT 2 hours, AEW goes to USA 3 hours? Who has the stronger roster to support 3 hours? Imagine Raw on TNT, AEW on USA. Yeah, that's not going to happen. AEW has more than enough talent. It's the booking that I'm worried about. AEW has plenty of talent for a three-hour show. That's not even the question. It's more an issue of can the booking support a three-hour show? I don't think that there is any wrestling company, I don't care how much of a fan you are of that promotion, that needs to be 3 hours. AEW does not need to be 3 hours. WWE does not need to be 3 hours. Impact does not need to be 3 hours. Ring of Honor does not need to be 3 hours. MLW does not need to be 3 hours. New Japan on Access does not need to be 3 hours. Raw on most weeks does not even need to be fucking 90 minutes, the quality of these shows. There is no wrestling show that on a week-to-week-to-week basis needs to be 3 hours in length. None. Not one. Not a single one. Darth Panic with the $5 super chat. I've seen red, black, and green mist used before, but never blue. Do you know, off the top of your head, who uses the blue mist? Well, Asuka did tonight. Beyond Asuka, I don't know that I've seen the blue mist either. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, the only juice I'm on is Life. Zero News is wrong. Thank you, Dakota. And Boots with the $5 super chat for the holiday cookies and liquor fund. Bobby Lashley getting fired 12 days before Christmas. It's almost like a Hallmark movie. And Dre Hund, can you have a Randy Orton match without the RKO? Yeah, use the punt. Bring back the punt. I think people will accept the punt. You can't do the RKO anymore. It's always good to have more than one signature move. In case you have to leave one behind, you always have something else that you can fall back on. For Randy Orton, I think that would be the punt. But the question right now is Randy Orton even going to be able to come back? Hopefully he will. V. Joe says, wow, Women of Wrestling can be 3 hours. No, there is not a single professional wrestling show that needs to be 3 hours every single week. Not a single one of them. I don't care what brand it is. It doesn't matter to me. Not a single one. I want to thank everybody for helping smash the goal, which was 350, by the way. And not only did we smash the 350 likes, we are well on our way to 500. So maybe we can hit 500 before we get out of here. Rizzo just dropped a $20 super chat. Rizzo is a beast. I don't even think, he says, sports, movies, etc. need to be 3 hours. Says good night, Solo, in the chat. I don't know if I'll be here Wednesday or Friday because I work with children, so I may have to work 12 hours for the rest of the week. So you're like CM Punk, right? You work with children, you're tired, you're hurt, you're sore. Enjoy your muffins, Rizzo. You've earned it. Yeah, I agree with you, by the way, on these movies. I still haven't seen The Batman. Everybody told me I had to see The Batman. I said, oh, I want to watch The Batman. I've seen all the other Batman movies, and then I saw the fucking thing was 3 hours long. And I still have not seen The Batman. I have seen movies that are 3 hours. I remember seeing The Watchmen when The Watchmen came out. And apparently, like, the director's cut version is even longer. It's like 3 hours and 20 minutes or something. That movie was like 3 hours, and I mean, it was a struggle for me to stay awake. I was even younger and full of more energy. I could barely stay awake. 3 hours is a lot. You better have something real good if you're going to force somebody to sit there for 3 hours. All right, let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Oh, Maurice. There she is, ladies and gentlemen. Let's admire The Miz and his bride here as we head into another edition of Be the Booker, where we book a men's match, a women's match, and a tag team match at random to see what kind of pairing we could come up with. But first, we have a super chat here from our old friend Estelle Winslow. Says, 9 more days until I am thirsting Howell the Third again. Is that what happens with YouTube? They time you out before you can change your name back? Thank you, Mrs. Winslow. I appreciate that. Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at Maurice. All right, so let us... can't blame me. Let us be the booker. Let us be the booker. We'll begin with the men. And we begin with The Big Show. It's The Big Show, everybody. Did you hear what I said? I said The Big Show. Just going to admire this picture for a little. Let's go back here. All right, let's see who The Big Show is stepping into the ring with. Who The Big Show is going to choke slam or... knockout with his WMD. It'll be The Big Show going one-on-one with Pentagon Jr. Pentagon and The Big Show. Interesting pairing. I give that the bell just because I feel if we have a healthy Big Show, you know, Big Show's had some hip issues. That's why we haven't seen him back in the ring yet. But, you know, it's a unique enough match. Big Show and Pentagon. Flip over to the ladies' side. Heel or face? Well, that's a good question. I would say heel Big Show and babyface Penta. We begin with Jillian Hall and her disgusting mole, like that disgusting super chat that just popped up my screen. What is going on? What is going on in that super chat? What is he doing to the Sandman? Oh, my God. Jillian Hall, one-on-one with, oh, good Lord. From one ridiculous character to another, Laurel Van Ness and Jillian Hall. Yeah, I think I'll pass on that one. Well, this is going to be the tiebreaker. It all comes down to this. Tag team, be the booker. I love me some good tag team wrestling. We begin with Scissor Me Daddy Ass. It's the Acclaimed, your reigning AEW tag team champions. Anthony Bowens, Max Caster, with Daddy Ass in their corner. Going to be the Acclaimed taking on Hollywood Hulk Hogan and Dennis Rodman. What do you think? I'll give it the bell. I'll give it the bell. I like the acclaimed Hogan and Rodman, right? They were a cool combo back in the day. My God, look at all the scissor emojis in the chat. We got a lot of acclaimed fans in here. Max Caster can't rap. I don't think he's terrible. He's not terrible. I don't think he's terrible. John Cena, back when he was doing his own freestyle raps, John Cena is a better rapper than Max Caster is. But John Cena has actually shown props to Max Caster on social media. So obviously Cena's a fan of his work. I just think Cena was better at it than he is. Hey, Anthony Remy with the $5 Super Chat. How about WWE AEW pay-per-views that last more than 3 hours? It's okay to end after midnight. No, there's no need for that either. Yeah, I mean, you could have a solid 3.5 hour pay-per-view. But depending on when the pay-per-view start, usually the pay-per-view start at 8 o'clock. You're going beyond midnight, that's over 4 hours. That's unacceptable. There's no need for a 4 hour plus pay-per-view. Unless your name is Wrestle Kingdom. This year, Wrestle Kingdom's only the one night in the Tokyo Dome. They usually do two. Now they're doing one. That may be a long night. But typically, no. These AEW pay-per-views. These AEW pay-per-views that go 4 hours, they suck the life force out of. Especially because I know I have to come on here and start from the very beginning and talk about that. It kills me. So no, I am not a fan of the 4 hour pay-per-views either. If Solid Monster ran his own promotion, I would be laying down some ground rules as far as not burning out my audience. I've always been a big believer in you leave them wanting more. You don't give them too much, you leave them wanting more. And what you do give them, you try to make it the best that it can possibly be. I don't think Triple H is going into the show every week or Tony Khan is going into their show every week and saying, how can I give these people shit? I think they feel the same way. They want to give their fans the best product they possibly can. They just don't always do a good job of doing that. But that would be my philosophy as a booker. Less is more. I've always been a big believer in that. Less is more. Devin from NJ2000, buy or sell, Many Saints of Newark or The Irishman? The Irishman. Irishman was a good movie. Justin Logue has a $2 super chat coming in. Baron Corbin and JBL is proof that Jesus has forsaken us. Wow. If you say so. Anyway, this has been fun. Thank you guys for hanging out with me here on another Monday night. We still got Super Chats coming in. We got one from Bob the Builder coming in a moment here. In terms of music and crowds, AEW is miles better than WWE. I would say most weeks in terms of, I don't know about music, but I mean most weeks in terms of crowds, yeah, probably music too. WWE music has definitely, it's not all bad, but it's definitely taken a fucking nosedive. AEW crowds on most weeks are, even if the crowd is smaller. WWE, here's the thing that's very bizarre about this. WWE has been actually selling very well ticket-wise. They've had some Raws that are sellouts or near sellouts. They're putting 8,000 people, 10,000, 11,000 people in a building. They have way more people in the buildings than AEW does in a typical week, but the AEW crowds make far more noise. So it really does come down to how excited your audience is for the product that you're giving them, because I'm sure tonight, where were they tonight for Raw? I know we have at least one person in the chat who was in the building. Where were they tonight? I forgot. During Raw. You can have a building with 7,000 or 8,000 people that on television comes across as if they're comatose. A lot of these WWE crowds are very quiet. And I don't know that you could just credit it to, well, it's all family, it's all kids, right? I don't think you could just use that as a blanket excuse. AEW might have a building with 3,500 people or 4,000 people in it, but man, you know, a lot of weeks, those people are amped up and they're making noise. And that really does help the overall vibe of the show. You know, last week I thought was a very enjoyable episode of Dynamite. Crowd was part of that. You know, the crowd definitely plays a role in these shows. Milwaukee. Okay, so they were in Milwaukee tonight. Well, if you were in the building, in Milwaukee, you may think that it was loud. It definitely didn't come across that way on TV. Now, SmackDown's going to be in Chicago. There's no reason that WWE should not have a hot, fucking, live, loudly crowd. Loudly? Lively. I just made up a word. Lively crowd in Chicago on Friday. Roman Reigns is back. They're already promoting an Intercontinental Championship match. The Bloodline, Sami Zayn, they're going to be there, right? You know they'll love Sammy. That should be a fun show on Friday night. If you go to Chicago and you have people sitting on their hands, then you're doing something wrong. So I'm expecting a hot crowd in Chi-Town on Friday night. Ritzy Hades with the $5 super chat. Who are the five NXT call-ups right now that can give us more variety? Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes. I think that the Creed brothers could definitely use some more seasoning, but the Creed brothers would be a much welcome addition to the tag team division. So if it were me, you know, I'd probably go Bron, Melo, Creeds. I think you bring Toxic Attraction. I think you bring that whole act up to the main roster. So Gigi, JC, Mandy. Yeah, and that would be good for now. I think you want to give the other people there. I think Tiffany Stratton can be a huge star for them one day, but she's not ready. She needs more time in NXT. She should be NXT Women's Champion at least once before she makes her way up. You know, Roxanne Perez, I think she'll get there. Cora Jade will get there. I can see Cora Jade actually having a lot of appeal on the main roster, the way that like an AJ Lee did. I think she could definitely make some money for them. But yeah, they got guys in NXT right now who you can call up. You know, and I'm not talking about Apollo Crews. Obviously, he was on the main roster. But you're going to see these guys if they have a draft after WrestleMania. We're definitely going to see some NXT call ups after Stand and Deliver. We're going to see some NXT call ups. Tyler with the $1.99. Hopefully Raw gets better near the Royal Rumble time. That is my hope. When the calendar turns to January and we get a little bit closer to the Rumble, hopefully things will start to pick up, because right now it is just, like I said, it feels like they're phoning it in. Bron Breakker should debut in the main roster next year at Survivor Series. Oh, he'll be on the main roster before that. I know Shawn Michaels said it after the deadline show. He said that he wants Braun to stick around and, I think, season a little bit more. You know, like he's a dish that's not yet fully cooked. But Survivor Series, I would expect him to be on the main roster way before then. Estelle Winslow. I miss the 1997 Gang Wars. I don't. I didn't like the gang war stuff they did with the Barriquas and Truth Commission and DOA. That was a fucking bore. Drew McIncock says, I miss you, bro. Drew, thank you. How can you miss me? I never left. Thoughts on Ibushi Big Money Noah deal? According to Voices of Wrestling. I'm waiting to see that confirmed. I've heard a bunch of things about Ibushi, Noah, DDT. I don't know what his status is contractually with New Japan, if they would allow him to leave. He seems to me like he's like a nomad. Like he would just be happier, I think, just kind of having the freedom to go and do what he wants wherever he wants. That would probably be what makes him happy the most. Rizzo with the $10 super chat. Here's a theory. Mandy Rose on Stand and Deliver will either be tying the record or days away from Asuka's record. What if it's her and Mandy at TakeOver? Asuka and Mandy at TakeOver, with Asuka, I guess, going back down to NXT. I could see that. I mean, the way they've been calling main roster talent to work some of the NXT shows, we saw it earlier this year with Dolph Ziggler and Big Bob. We have it now with Apollo Crews and The New Day. And there have been other people as well that have come, like Natalya was there. So could I see Asuka, if it's around that period of time where Mandy is about to break the record and they build some drama, will she or won't she? Can Asuka stop her from breaking her record? I could see that, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, I could see that. Ibushi showing up on a Ring of Honor pay-per-view would be fire. Nah, if Ibushi is going to come to the States, I don't want him on a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. If Ibushi comes over, I want him on an AEW pay-per-view. Not that Ring of Honor stuff. I want him on an AEW show. Tyler, with the $1.99, how do you feel on Michael Mangieri going to AEW? That is very interesting. Because I have mentioned before that there was a person who was being groomed in WWE and thought to be the one who was going to replace Kevin Dunn at some point, if Kevin Dunn either retired or was, you know, replaced. And he was one of the names who left WWE. And I don't remember if he was released or if he might have left on his own. I don't remember the circumstances around it. Anyway. He was gone from the company. This was back during the first year of the pandemic. And now he has been picked up by AEW. He was out of wrestling for a little bit. Now he's back in wrestling. And he's going to be a very big part of the AEW production crew. So it's like they have their own Kevin Dunn now with this guy. So that's a very interesting, and I think also a very positive, just based on the things I've heard about him, a very positive pickup for Tony Khan. But yeah, there were people who thought he could be the next Kevin Dunn in WWE, and then he was gone. And Kevin Dunn's competition was no more. Watching Kana against Mako Satomura on YouTube, and it's interesting. The style seems vastly different than what's in WWE now. Oh, it's very different. It's like you could take the same person and put them, you know, take them out of there and put them in WWE, and it's like having two totally different people. The styles are just very, very drastically different. Any updates on Adam Cole? Unfortunately, no. There's been nothing new about Adam Cole. Thunder Force 2000. Of the women Triple H has brought back, who do you think has the most potential? Well, we have, who do we have so far? Mia Yim, Candice LeRae, Tegan Knox, Zelina Vega, who I guess she was hurt. I mean, she never really left, right? So, Tegan, Mia, and Candice. Who am I missing? Am I missing somebody here? I mean, if those are the three, I think of those three, you know, with Tegan, a lot of it depends on her knee, and her knees, I should say. A lot of it depends on her health. I think Tegan is probably the one of those three who has the greatest potential, but if she can stay healthy, that's a very big if. Emma. Okay, Emma, Dakota. Boy, he really has brought back a lot of the old guard, huh? From NXT. I still think I might go honestly with Tegan. If Tegan can stay healthy, I think she has the greatest potential. They had very big plans for her before she got hurt. So I think she has to prove that she can stay healthy. But I would say Tegan and Io, I would say. Io Sky and Tegan Knox probably have the greatest potential. All right, guys, thank you for all the questions. Good shit. I'm going to be back with you live on Wednesday night. Wednesday night has become like, I mean, we have fun tonight too, but Wednesday night the last few weeks has been like fucking party night. So I'm expecting a fun stream on Wednesday night. And we got some big things on the Dynamite show that night. And of course, SmackDown on Friday night. And don't forget, there is a very big House of Glory show, Revelations, coming up this Saturday In Queens, New York, we've got Kenta making his Hog debut, taking on Low Ki. Nick Aldis challenging Jacob Fatu for the House of Glory World Championship. And the Briscoes, hot off their dog collar win over FTR at Ring of Honor, final battle, will defend their House of Glory tag team titles that night as well against the main event. I will be on the call and very much looking forward to that show. Be on Fight TV, so hopefully you will be able to tune in for that. So got a busy, busy week. Busy week coming up. Darth Panic says, if he is the next Kevin Dunn, how does Moxley feel? Oh, so he wants to know if Michael Mandry is indeed the next Kevin Dunn, how would John Moxley react to that news? Well, I don't know. We could ask Mox here before we head out. Hey, Mox, what do you think about this new guy being the new Kevin Dunn in AEW?
Fuck Kevin Dunn.
There you go. I don't think he's going to get along with this guy very well. I don't think that's going to work out too well. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great night. Thank you for all the super chat. Thank you for all the love. Hit that like button on your way out. And I will see you back here again for more Sound Off on Wednesday night. Until then, take care, guys.